everybody. Welcome to the TNA post show. I'm Datila, and of course, as always, I'm joined by Bert Macklin, who allegedly has no relation to Steve Macklin. How are you doing, Bert?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. We got quite a few things to talk about today. But before we get into tonight's show, let's talk about Explosion. We had Chilton Jean versus Aiden Prince. That was a really great match. I'm not sure why they're not using Aiden Prince and Chilton Jean. Like, Chilton Jean showed he had potential, especially when he was tag teaming with Kenny K and Jay King. But ever since then, they haven't done much. So I definitely would like to see more of Chilton Jean and of Aiden Prince in TNA. What about you?
Definitely. I really enjoyed this match. And I thought since they only did one match, this match got like a little more focus and time. Yeah, I really liked it. And I agree with everything you said about using them more.
Yeah. It definitely got a lot of focus. It was the only match on Explosion. And it was a great match. We need to see more of Chilton Jean and Aiden Prince. All right. Let's kick things off talking about this Rebellion referendum. Wait, Mustafa Ali was on commentary. And before we get into the match, as you know, typical John Skyler, always cutting a promo. He was talking about how Jason Hodge is not there to challenge Mustafa Ali, but to make sure nobody else does. And before he could finish talking, Kevin Knight interrupts him. If you remember correctly, Mustafa Ali and the Good Hands were responsible for taking out Kevin Knight.
I thought it was JYV that took out Kevin Knight.
Oh, yeah, JYV and Mustafa Ali. My bad. Sorry, I got confused for a second there.
Yeah.
Let's see. This week's Explosion was horrible. I don't care about retro matches. Give me current product. You know, he does bring up a good point. I feel like they should really focus more on matches on Explosion than instead of doing that, the retro stuff.
Yeah, I don't know why they keep doing that. At least tonight it was featuring the two people who were in the main event. So I guess that was fine. But yeah, I know I didn't like this either.
Great opener. Good to see Leon Sater finally take something, gets a big pay-per-view match. Yes, we'll get into that. So this match featured Leon Sater, Chris Bay, Allen Angels, Jason Hodge, and Kevin Knight and Jake Something. Now, I really like the fact that Mustafa Ali was like, why is Jake Something in this match? There should be limits. And they had to remind him, the X Division, there is no limits.
Yeah. Which is true. And Mustafa Ali was a great heel throughout the whole commentary. I mean, through the whole match. Raywald as well, like being the heel commentator. But Ali basically the whole time saying that he didn't want Jake Something in the match, basically, you know, playing the role of a heel, of a cowardly heel, doesn't want to face him, was shocked that he won. Obviously didn't like that decision. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that match.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a really great match. And I don't know, I think Mustafa Ali's commitments to TNA, I think they end at Rebellion. So if that's the case, I could definitely see Jake Something defeating Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So I think that could be a possibility, right?
Definitely. But this is a great match. I would really, really love to see Leon Sater versus Kevin Knight. They teased it a little bit during this. Oh, I was like, oh, give me one second. Sorry about that. But like I was saying, I definitely would like to see Leon Sater versus Kevin Knight at some point.
Definitely. That would be a great match.
All right. We get a Dirty Dango Viennet. And it seems like he's not happy, too happy with Ole Prudius because he did lose to Josh Alexander.
He was really getting mad at Bravo because he wouldn't sit down.
Yeah. So maybe they're going to split Ole from Dirty Dango, you think?
Yeah, but I'm just more concerned about finding out Dango's match ratings. I want to know where he ranks in the PWI 500. You know what I mean? I don't know where you find out those type of things. So I'm with him. I don't know what his match ratings are.
Right? That was so hilarious. He was talking about match ratings.
And yeah, just again, his character is basically, and you can say that it's like been done many times, but he basically hates wrestling. And like, well, he says that. And like, he points out how no one can talk anymore and how that used to matter. It was just, you know what I mean? It was like I was watching like a heel from the 90s.
So, hey, you either like Dirty Dango or you hate him.
I'm fine with this character.
Me too. I'm fine with Dirty Dango. All right, we got AJ Francis and Rich Swann. And of course, in typical heel fashion, they don't explain their actions. They have to make us wait till next week to get an explanation out of them.
I did like this. I'm going to have a tie-in with this. Later when we talk about the Ash by Elegance match. But yeah, I really like this. I liked Swan's look. And I just keep getting more and more impressed with AJ Francis.
Definitely. And see, we called this. We said Rich Swan was going to turn heel. Frankie Kazarian was the one that instigated all of it when you think about it. Because he's the one who told Rich Swan to take control of his career.
Yeah.
We get an interesting in-ring promo by Diener here. It seems like he's turning face. Now, he talks about how all his decisions have led to failure. He talks about the failure of VBD and the failure of the design and his leadership. I thought that was interesting because I don't consider Violet by Design a failure. You know, that was when they were under Eric Young's leadership, and I actually thought that group was pretty successful. But if you talk about the design, that design was a complete failure. I still think that it was a mistake to put Allen Angels in that group.
Yeah, just because, like, you see where Angels is now, but at the same time, that's usually, like, a typical, like, wrestling move in terms of, like, when you bring somebody in, you usually will stick them in a faction, just, you know what I mean, to kind of get them on TV. It's easier that way. But, yeah, this was basically, like, every heel-turning babyface promo. Like, he was basically saying, you know, he owed everyone an apology, like, how much he loves the fans. So, yeah, like, and then obviously, GYV came out and attacked them, which I really like this.
IO says he doesn't know why he gets online hate, but Francis is cool. We want the old Cody Diener back. Haha, giver. I think I briefly remember the old Cody Diener. When I started watching Impact back in 2020, I kind of saw a little bit of the old Diener, but then like he joined Violent by Design, so I didn't get to see much of the old Diener.
He was even back in TNA, and Io can help me out. I think it was like the early 2000s. And I made this joke, but I think that's why him and Eric Young had this bond, because they were both in storyline dating ODB. So not at the same time, but in their career, Eric Young, at one point, him and ODB were the Knockouts tag team, the last Knockouts tag team.
I remember that.
And then before that, like, and this is before I watched TNA, but I've seen segments. Diener was with ODB, like, in storyline. I don't know if they were, like, dating, but, like, she was, like,
2009 when he was ODB's boyfriend.
Yeah. So, thank you, Io, as always. But, yeah, so, I think they bonded over their, you know, over that, you know.
So this is a very interesting promo because he's talking about, like, the people's choice. Like, the fans are going to decide what he does now. And, like, the Grizzled Young Vets pretty much were telling him that he should quit wrestling, that he needs to get out of the ring. I don't know what the fans were thinking. They kind of set up Diener here because they told him not to get out of the ring. And then he attacked GYV, which was not the smartest thing if you ask me, because it was 2-on-1 pretty much.
You know, going back to what Io said, and even though he's technically your number one X Division champ, Jake Something. I wouldn't mind if Jake Something came to the aid of Diener and they reunited and had a tag match with GYV. I would actually like that. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Well, depending on if we lose Motor City Machine Guns, then we're getting in a tag team. So maybe Jake Something and Diener could be that team.
Yeah.
Now, this segment leads into the Time Splitters versus the Grizzled Young Vets. This was a great match. Was it just me? Was, you know, maybe a little heel tactics by Kushida? He cheap shotted the Grizzled Young Vets, you know, a couple, like twice during this match. So,
yeah. I think, you know, I did like seeing that at. And then one just side note. I would love to see Kushida as a world champion in TNA. It sucks that they never elevated him in New Japan. But yeah, no, I really, to me, this was my match of the night. Now I didn't have my moment of the night. I'll say that later. But no, this was my match of the night, I think. Yes, this was. This was a great match. I love the finisher, by the way. The super kick into the hoverboard lock. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. I'm really surprised they had Time Splitters tap out the Grizzled Young Vets there.
Uh-huh.
I was not expecting that. Were you?
What was that?
I said, were you expecting Time Splitters to tap out GYV?
No, but at the same time, it also kind of makes me think that Kushida or the Machine Guns aren't going to turn heel Alex Shelley just because they worked really well together. There was no like tension. There was no like mess ups just because of communication. So I don't really know what to think, but yeah, I did not expect that win, but this was a great match.
You know, and then at the end, they kind of seem to be like on the same page, you know? So
yeah,
we'll see where this goes. Maybe Alex Shelley isn't mad at him anymore.
I'm holding out for Machine Guns and Kushida to be the first TNA Trios champions.
We should get Trios champions, honestly.
Yeah.
Look, Ali in the Good Hands. You can have Ali on the Grizzly Young Vets.
Definitely.
Nick Nemeth and Speedball Mountain.
Yeah.
If Macklin and the Rascals were still together, that was another one. So. We get an interview with Hammerstone, and I actually really, really like this interview. He is a future world champion. You know, if you weren't convinced by now, you should be after this. Now, I'm still getting familiarized with Hammerstone. I don't know too much about him. I've only seen him wrestle twice, and they have both times have been against Josh Alexander. But I thought this was a really great promo. I really like the intensity behind this promo. He talked about how, like, that headgear is a symbol of him defeating Josh Alexander and like how it's going to remind Josh every time Josh sees him what happened to him and what will happen to him if they choose to go for a third match.
Yeah, no, just to go back to what you said, I watched a little of him in MLW and I don't remember him cutting many promos. And if he did, I don't remember how they were. Maybe somebody can help us out and say what they thought of him as a promo. But yeah, this was really good. Like, I was, like, blown away by this. And I liked how he kept calling him Thomas. That was good heel stuff. Yeah, that was... And just also, for me, he already is elevated to one of the best finishers in Impact. I mean, TNA. Just because, you know, a lot of people nowadays are doing the same type of moves or variations of those type of moves. I don't know how many people do the crossroads or a variation of that. But yeah, I know his finisher is really dope. And I loved how they showed that. And I also like how he pointed out how Josh had to roll out of the ring to beat him. It was just really good heel stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. He called Josh a coward for doing that. This is great. And you know, I honestly don't know who would win a third match, the rubber match between them. I will say this.
If they have Josh if they have Josh beat him, I would be totally fine with that, just because you could also just keep the seeds planted for if you say Hammerstone's going to be a future world champion for Hammerstone, maybe beating him for the title eventually. But I don't think Josh needs the win as much as Hammerstone. You don't. I would rather, because again, his first loss, he wasn't signed to TNA, so technically he is 1-0. I wouldn't start him off with a loss just yet. I'm not saying he needs to go undefeated for a year, but I would have him beat Josh.
You know, I agree with you. I don't think Josh needs to win. He's already the longest reigning TNA world champion in history. I think Hammerstone could benefit from a victory over Josh Alexander. IO says, Josh wrestling without the headgear feels both weird and used to. Right? It feels weird. But I honestly think that if there is a rubber match, Hammerstone should get the victory. And that'll just make a major impact, pun intended, on for Hammerstone. I mean, defeating the longest reigning world champion, not once, but twice.
I also would love to, because I eventually see Josh is going to be world champion again. But I would just love to also if he maybe had a run with the digital media champion, just to make him a Grand Slam champion. I think that'd be really cool.
IO says, I would hold the rubber match for later. I feel it's too quick. Let's build Hammer first. I agree.
Yeah, you don't have to do this like now. Like I said, you could also even do it like when one of them's champion or a number one contenders match, which would be great. You know what I mean? I definitely agree with IO. Don't do it now. Because them facing off three quick times kind of maybe would make people be like, well, I don't need to see it again. But if you wait, now people will remember, oh, yeah, they're 1-1 against each other.
Yeah. All right, we get a digital media title match, Crazy Steve versus PCO. I feel like we got two matches in this match. We had Crazy Steve versus PCO, and then it looked like we got PCO versus Khan on the outside of this. I have to say, I feel like this match was more about Khan and PCO than it was about Crazy Steve and PCO. I honestly think PCO versus Khan is not over. Considering what Eric Young mentioned in regards to his match, I think that we're going to get PCO versus Khan maybe in a Monsters Ball match. I think that's what's going to lead up to.
First off, this match last week came out of nowhere. I was like, okay, I guess PCO is challenging Crazy Steve. It fell off from the perspective that it didn't seem like him and Khan were done, since they really didn't have, they've had like one quick match and then a DQ.
Yeah.
But then as soon as Khan came out, Crazy Steve immediately became an afterthought, because then it wasn't about him, especially since they didn't ring the bell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it almost kind of looks like Khan helped him win. So on one hand, I'm happy because I'd rather them get Crazy Steve another contender, because I don't think PCO's it. But at the same time, it just felt like this match was nothing.
Yeah, I could see.
Why do they need to do the interference in a title match? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, why can't it have been during like a PCO squash match or something? You know what I mean? And then Khan comes out. Like, just to do it during a world title match, it kind of sucked.
IO says, for example, FTR Bucks had three matches in the span of 3 years. That's true. That's a good example. Yeah, kind of wasn't a huge fan of that. But like I said, I feel like it's going to lead to a Monsters Ball match. Maybe at Rebellion.
I like how IO pointed that out, because that is the proper way. And then if somebody could help me out, the overboard would be, was it 100 times that Cena and Orton faced each other in WWE in like a year? I know. Over-exaggerating, but I remember seeing a graphic of how many times they faced off each other, and that's a way to kill a feud. Again, if somebody can help me out, I know it's the over double digits.
But IO says three-way monster boss for DMC. Okay. Based on what happened to me, I could see that.
The only reason I don't want to see that, unless they're going to put the title on Khan or something, is because I'm trying to envision how they would book the finish. You know what I mean? Because I'm seeing a match where Khan and PCO destroy each other, and then then Crazy Steve sneaks out a win. Mm-hmm. Which, again, that match doesn't feel that is the feud doesn't feel like it's about him.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, next we get a DK segment. They're basically, I guess you could say, calling in their shot, you know, seeing that they never got their contractual rematch. But then they're interrupted by MK Ultra, who also say that they need their rematch. And it's true. One of the things that I like about TNA is that despite the fact that their women's tag team division is only three teams, I like that they're using all three of them at once, you know? So I think that's a really good. I still say that we need to add more teams. I know that they lost a lot of teams at no fault of their own, but I really like that they're incorporating all three teams here.
I think more are coming from within. That's just my prediction. Yeah. And then, you know, I would like to see a three-way in some sort of, you know, I don't know what match is left for them to do that the knockouts haven't done, because they did their first ever Ultimate X, the other, you know, knockout one, call your shot. I don't know if maybe a Full Metal Mayhem match or a ladder match would be pretty rad. But I would like to see all three teams in the match for the title, since they both have a rematch. I think that's what they'll probably do.
Yeah, I think
or,
so too.
Or they'll have each other. They'll have, obviously, which wouldn't be fair, but they would have DK and MK Ultra face each other, and the winner gets. But they are both owed a rematch.
I think that's what's happening. I think DK basically was like, the only way to settle this is in the ring.
Yeah, that's fine, so I guess.
Yeah. We get an Eric Young promo, and he's basically challenged Frankie Kazarian to a Full Metal Mayhem match at Rebellion. But he also mentions that his business with Moose isn't over yet. So I'm thinking that after he's done taking care of Frankie Kazarian, he'll go after Moose again. But I don't think Eric Young's going to win this feud.
I don't either, just because I think we're building Frankie Kazarian getting a world title shot. So I think they want to keep him strong. But especially, I don't think Eric Young needs to win, since he beat him and got a world title shot already. So yeah, I think Kazarian wins.
I think so too. But I'll talk more about Frankie Kazarian when we get into Nick Nemeth's segment. So you get Ash by Elegance versus Saliza Spark. This was, I guess you can say, a bit of an enhancement match. You know, they're still beating up Ash by Elegance. But what I like about this, they added an additional element to this. At the end, she attacks Sparks. She grabbed the chair and drove it into Sparks' throat. And then Xia Brookside came to help her. So maybe they're setting up her first feud with Xia Brookside. I would like to see Kazarian doing an actual King gimmick, maybe win King of the Mountain. Oh, that would be good. So what are your thoughts on this?
First of all, let me just, my moment of the night came when Ash hit her finisher. That was similar to me from Jordan jumping from the free throw line. She jumped basically halfway across the ring, and I would say a perfect 10 across the board. I better not see any nines. That was a perfect 10. And let me just say real quick, circle back to what I mentioned earlier. What is going on in TNA needs to be studied. Because on this show, and this is, I think, two people that are perfect examples of people that WWE dropped the ball on. It is amazing to me. And this keeps happening, but these are just two glaring examples, because I think a lot of times with TNA, they take people who were being used, maybe just not being right or not enough. Like in the terms of Dana Brooke and AJ Francis, I think Dana Brooke, they never used her, and AJ Francis, they never played to his strengths. And what you're seeing right now, like Ash is pretty freaking good in the ring. I would say way above average. And in terms of AJ Francis, with the look at him, you don't, they were having him do too much. And then at his strength, I hardly ever heard him talk. So, again, TNA deserves all the props in the world just for continuing to do this. Like, it's amazing to me.
To add on, I mean, look at the stars you created. Steve Maclin, Deonna Purrazzo, W. Morrissey. Look what they did with Brian Myers. These other people. Even Trinity. They treated Trinity like a star.
It goes back to Drew Galloway, farther back to Gail Kim. Yeah, like they've been doing this for a while.
Io says, impressive swan song Ash did with Range. The more JJ screws up, the more TNA looks like Roxas. Exactly. I mean, look what they did with Allen Angels.
Yeah. Again, he was from AEW, but yeah, it's not just limited to WWE. They do this with everybody.
Good point. Freaking Dango too. Exactly. They know how to use people.
Again, like, if I knew Dango could cut promos, I wouldn't have had him doing a stupid dancing gimmick.
Right?
You know, like, you need people. Again, he pointed that out. Like, it's not untrue. You're always going to need people who can talk, and it's not like he can't wrestle. So I don't see what's going. Again, I don't get it.
Yeah, I'll never get that. All right, we get Nick Nemeth in-ring promo, and he's basically talking about how he wanted to come in and earn a title shot. He didn't want to get handed one. Now, he talked about how Steve Maclin stepped up to him and about how he wanted to wait, but Moose obviously couldn't because he attacked him. Now, the system comes out, and they confront Nick Nemeth, and I really like the fact that Moose said that the one thing that Nick Nemeth could not be able to beat is the system. I was like, dang, that's cold-blooded.
Yeah, that was a really good line. It was like, and he just kind of walked off after that. That was really good. Then the last image of the system holding up gold. Yeah. Since they're doing this match already, I don't know if Nemeth will win.
I don't know either. And I don't want Moose to lose the title again at Rebellion. For those of you who don't know, when Moose was a TNA champion, well, Impact World Champion, the first time he lost to Josh Alexander at Rebellion. So I don't want Moose to lose his title again at Rebellion.
And didn't he also lose against Kenny Omega?
Yeah, he did. He lost to Kenny Omega. I don't think that was at Rebellion, though.
I thought it was at Rebellion, but it was during the pandemic, and they did the match in Daly's place. Or I know they did that. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I don't know if it was Rebellion. But, yeah, hopefully Moose does win.
Okay. So, like I was going to talk mentioned earlier, I think that Nick Nemeth will eventually win the world title. And I think Frankie Kazarian will be the one to take that title off of Nick Nemeth.
I could see that. But again, I just don't know. I don't know when, because again, how long is he with TNA? Is he just per appearance, just like Ali is? Is he?
Io says, I think Moose retains. You know what? I don't know. I don't recall reading what his contract status is. I don't know if he's on a per appearance deal or if he's actually signed.
I agree with Io just for the simple fact as well that you can't have him lose gold and then, because the system need to have gold for a while as a faction.
The system can't be stopped by Nemeth. I agree. If anything, I agree. Moose should retain. Have Moose lose at Slammiversary.
Yeah, he needs to lose on one of the big four. But yeah, then I don't think it'd be against Kazarian, though.
No. I don't think so either. I think Nick Nemeth will take the title from him eventually, and then Frankie will take it from Nick Nemeth.
But at that point, I would rather, because then the storyline should be if to get the belt back on a TNA original, and I wouldn't want Kazarian to be the heel in that situation. You know what I mean? If it's Kazarian versus Nemeth, you know what I mean? Because I don't know how you boo Kazarian in that situation.
Okay, good point. I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
All right, the main event was the Knockouts title match, Jordynne Grace versus the Boricua Badass, Tasha Steelz. Great freaking match. TNA showing why they truly have the best women's division in North America. This match rolled.
And Raywald pointed it out. He said that that belt is the standard. And yeah, I'll preface by saying North America, but yes, I completely agree with that. They did set the standard for women's wrestling in terms of, like, you know, the main companies, because I would, obviously they're not nearly the size of WWE, but TNA have been around for 20 plus years. You know what I mean? For a while, it was them and WWE on TV. You know, they took over basically where WCW left off and gave WWE competition to a degree. So yeah, I think in terms of, not TNA is the standard when it comes to the women's division in North America.
They are the standard. I mean, they are the ones that started the women's revolution in, way back with Gail Kim, Awesome Kong. They had their women compete in like all these different matches, the Monsters Balls, you name it. The women have done it all. And this is not the first time we get a Knockouts main event team. TNA. Remember Deonna Purrazzo main evented against Roxy, where she won the ROH women's title? Jordynne hasn't reached her final form yet, like Faiza or Sel from DBZ. So this is an incredible main event, again, showing why they truly are the standard for when it comes to women's wrestling.
Yes, yeah. Also, let me just say, TNA does this all the time. We've seen countless Knockouts in the main event, and yeah, I do agree with Io that she hasn't reached her final form. I will say, I don't know if TNA does it again, but to me, her final form would be winning the world championship, the men's world championship as well, just because I think that is. I just think her, I buy her as a world champion. We saw her in she was the first digital media champion. We saw her in the Call Your Shot gauntlet. So I think that'd be pretty cool. They don't have to do it. They don't need to do that. But I think that'd be awesome for them to run that back.
Io says that I'm right. Like I said, the Knockouts send it all. Take notes, companies. Exactly. Companies need to take note. Remember Knockouts Knockdown 2021? All women's pay-per-view. We need to get another Knockouts Knockdown. Like, they're the standard. People need to take notes.
Agree.
All right. Well, before we get ready to sign off, anything else you want to say?
No, just keep watching. We're on the road to Rebellion. What are we? So this week is basically like a month left. So probably like, what, 4 shows left till Rebellion?
I think so.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see a lot of the cards pretty much taking shape. It looks really good. That world tag match should be awesome. You know, yeah, the world championship match. Yeah, this is going to be a really good pay-per-view.
I agree. I cannot wait. Unfortunately, you won't be there, but I'll be there. I cannot wait for this pay-per-view. It's going to be so much fun. But as you get ready to sign off, Bert, where can people find you?
Just on X at BurtMacklin11.
You can follow me on X at @Detail_. I talk all things wrestling, Raw, SmackDown, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, of course, TNA Impact. But with that being said, thank you guys all so much for watching and for the continued support. Please don't forget to like and subscribe. Make sure you hit that bell so you get notified whenever we go live or whenever Body Slam releases a new video. And we'll see you guys next week.
You cover a lot of stuff. I was going to expect you to say, like, Sunday Night Heat, main event, you know what I mean? Like, I thought you were going to name, like, all Shotgun Saturday Night. I thought you were just going to start naming, like, you know, these forgotten shows, because that was a lot of stuff.
Oh, shit. Right? No. Oh, it's all good. All right. All right, bye, you guys. We'll see you guys next week.